Hare Krishna. So in this section of the Bhagavatam, in the 10th chapter, Srila Shukadeva Goswami is narrating some of the technical aspects of the process of creation. In the very first verse, he has outlined the 10 principles of creation, Atra Sarga Visargascha, and so on. And he is now describing progressively each of these stages, especially the Sarga and the Visarga. So now he is entering on the border of Sarga and Visarga. Sarga is the creation that takes place by the Lord as Mahavishnu. And Visarga is a secondary creation that takes place by the efforts of Brahmaji, the chief living entity in the universe. So the process of creation is extremely complicated and very, very difficult to understand. There are many, many, many aspects to this. And although there is some description in the Srimad Bhagavatam in various places, in the second canto, in the third canto, and so on, ultimately to understand how the process actually takes place is impossible for the living entities to understand. But nevertheless, some glimpse of it is given. Now, in this verse, we are seeing the beginning of how the Virat Purusha, the Lord in the form of the material energy in this universe, actually manifested his different bodily parts. And we will recapitulate briefly and then come to this point by describing partly what Lord Kapila has described in the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. That originally, of course, the Lord, having incarnated as the in the form of Mahavishnu, was lying in his yogic slumber, the yoga nidra, in the Karana Sagar or the Viraja River. And thereupon, there was the sum total of the material energy in its unmanifested state, called Pradhana. Pradhan is that state of the material energy which is undifferentiated. Undifferentiated means that the different elements like the earth, water, fire, air, and so on, then the different organs, the senses, and so on, they are not separated. They are all in their unmanifest state. So that is called Pradhana. It is the original source of the material creation. The difference between Pradhana and Prakriti, the material nature, is that Prakriti is the manifested form of that Pradhana. Of course, what it takes to convert the Pradhana to the Prakriti, that is what we will also describe briefly, and that is the Supreme Lord. His internal potency is responsible for transforming that Pradhana into Prakriti. So Kapila Dev describes that this Pradhan consists essentially of 24 elements. The 24 elements are the five elements in their unmanifest state: earth, water, fire, air, ether. It consists of the five tanmatras, that is the sense objects, which is basically form, sound, smell, taste, and touch. Then there are the five Jnanendriyas, the five senses that are responsible for acquiring knowledge, that is the eyes, the subtle forms, that is. The eyes, the nose, the tongue, the ears, and the skin. And there are the Karmendriyas, the five organs for action, the hands, the legs, the anus, the genitals, and the voice. That makes 20 of the 24 elements. Then there is the mind, intelligence, and ego. And the 24th element is the polluted consciousness. Of course, sometimes in Sankhya there are different understandings of this 24th element. Here Kapila says it as the polluted or the contaminated consciousness, which is originally, of course, the soul. Sometimes the 24th element is called the Pradhana itself within the universe. So anyway, these are the 24 elements that comprise this pradhan, which is the root of this material creation or the energy. And then you add to it the 25th element, which is imparted by the Lord, that is the time energy. In the Puranas and Upanishads, it is declared that the material energy, even as pradhan, is ultimately coming from the Brahman, the spiritual energy of the spiritual world. The Brahman is the basis for the material energy. In the spiritual world, the Brahma Jyoti or the Brahman, which is just the effulgence of the divine body of the Supreme Lord, there is no trace of the material energy, no trace of the three modes, goodness, passion and ignorance. And therefore it is called Nirguna Brahman, which is what the Jnana Yogis are after and which is what the Upanishads describe. I beg your pardon? Nirguna. Nirguna Brahman. And then the Upanishads talk about Saguna Brahman. There is a lot of confusion about this term Saguna Brahman because the Jnana Yogis and the Mayavadis, when they talk about Saguna Brahman, they talk about the Lord as being Saguna Brahman, as being made of the material elements. But Saguna Brahman actually refers to the material energy itself, the 25 elements, including time. That is the Saguna Brahman. And it is ultimately the Lord, by His time energy through His glands, by continued agitation of these energies, that actually the further creation takes place. And the different living entities, the spirit souls, are also impregnated to this material energy through the glands of the Lord. In the 14th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna describes Sarva yonishu kaunteya murtayah sambhavantiyah tasam brahma mahadyonir aham bija pradahapita. He says that I am the seed giving father of all living entities in this creation. Brahma mahadyonir or yonir mahad brahma. In the third verse, this slight different combination of words is described. And there also Krishna describes that the sum total of the material substance is called Brahman. And that Brahman I impregnate. Dadhamyaham. He says, I impregnate this and therefore sambhavami sarvabhutani. And then all this makes possible the birth of all the living entities in this creation. So very clearly in the 14th chapter of the Gita, Lord Krishna describes that this Saguna Brahman is the sum total of all the material substance, and I impregnate dadhamyaham this Saguna Brahman, and from this the entire 84 lakh species of life is made possible. Sambhavami sarvabhutani. In other words, it is the internal potency of the Lord as imparted through His glands that agitates this Saguna Brahman. And because the living entities of the spirit souls are then imparted into that Saguna Brahman, then all the varieties of life eventually form out. Actually, once the Supreme Lord glances at the material energy, this is when the transformation takes place. Without the glance of the Lord, without the Lord imparting His internal potency of time to the material energy or pradhana, such manifestations or changes cannot take place. Srila Prabhupada describes in his various purports, quoting from the Acharyas, that just sometimes we see the nipples on the neck of a goat, but they actually do not produce milk. Similarly, the material scientists may wonder that this material nature is producing so many wonderful actions and reactions, but they do not know that the material nature cannot do anything until it is impregnated by the energies of the Lord. It is only because the Lord agitates the material nature that various transformations can take place. Another example is given that a woman cannot produce a child on her own. She has to be impregnated by a man. In the same way, the material energy, prakriti, has to be impregnated by the glance of the Lord in the form of time. Then everything becomes agitated. And gradually, progressively, all the elements and senses and so on start manifesting. The Brahma Samhita also describes the creative element that comes through the glance of the Lord as Shambhu. And this Shambhu Tattva principle eventually then manifests as Lord Shiva in all the universes. So Lord Shambhu or Shiva also has a very important role to play in the creative process, not just in the destruction process. So gradually, in this cooking pot of Pradhan, or the Yoni Mahat Brahma, or the Saguna Brahman, called by different names in different places in the Shastra, then it is constantly agitated. Just imagine that you have a cooking pot in which there is some ingredient, but that cooking pot needs some fire, it needs stirring. So the Lord does that. The Lord supplies not only the ingredients in terms of the pradhana, but He also agitates it and starts cooking and doing the stirring by the means of His glance, which carries the time energy. And progressively, as the stirring goes on, by the inconceivable potency of the Lord, one by one the different elements start manifesting. First of all, there is Mahat Tattva that comes out. From Mahat Tattva then comes the ego. From the ego come the intelligence, the mind, the senses, and so on and so forth. And all the elements also progressively, in their subtle forms and then in their gross forms, they start manifesting, gradually, step by step. These are described very wonderfully in the various portions of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And gradually, when all these elements and senses have differentiated, when they have separated out in their subtle forms, now the time is ready for Mahavishnu to create the universes, the golden egg. And then, once the universe is created with its layers, water, it starts with water, air, fire, sky, ego, and Mahat Tattva and Pradhana. These are the various layers of the universe. And each layer, the outer layer, is 10 times thicker than the inner layer. And when this is ready, then Mahavishnu enters as Garbhodakashaya Vishnu. Srila Prabhupada explains that there are 3 main forms of the Lord in the universe, in every universe. One is Garbhodakashaya Vishnu, the second is Kshirodakashaya Vishnu, and the third is the Virat Purusha. Virat Purusha means the universal form of the Lord, the gigantic material cosmos. So in that stage, when the Lord enters, and as the Virat Roop, by His own inconceivable energies, He starts manifesting His different bodily parts and portions. Here we are seeing the first beginnings of that process, where the mouth is generated. Because the Lord, as the Virat Purusha, develops the desire to eat and drink because He is hungry and thirsty. So the mouth manifests. So the Virat Purusha is an imaginary form of the Lord that is composed of the material energy. It is meant for those who do not have sufficient faith in the Supreme Person, Krishna. Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. So Govinda, Lord Krishna, is the Adi Purusha. He is the original person. And from Him come many other Purushas. From this Adi Purusha come many other Purushas. And in relationship to this material universe, we have the Purusha Avatars. These Purushas are the Mahavishnu, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, Kshirodakshaya Vishnu forms of the Lord. and then there is the Virat Purusha. So Srila Prabhupada explains that we have to distinguish this Adi Purush from the Virat Purush on one hand and from the three Purushas, the three Vishnus on the other hand. Ultimately, the Adi Purush Krishna is the object of our worship, of our devotion. Those who cannot bring themselves to understand the beautiful form, the original beautiful form of the Lord, they can remain content with trying to figure out the form of the Lord in the material manifestation. Sometimes the different planetary systems are compared to the different bodily parts of the Lord. The Patala Loka are compared to the soles of the feet of the Lord. The earthly planetary systems are compared to the belly of the Lord. The Brahmaloka planetary system is compared to the head of the Lord. So like this, one is instructed to visualize how the Lord has a form even in this material manifestation. So that is some kind of beginning of theism. It's a very rudimentary kind of beginning. At least he is representing, he sees some representation of the Lord in this creation. But ultimately for those who are more intelligent and more spiritually evolved, they worship not this material manifestation, but the original source of them all, that is Adi Purusha. In this way, the Virat Purusha starts manifesting his various bodily parts. In the purport here, Srila Prabhupada explains that this process by which the Virat Purusha starts manifesting his bodily portions are something like the creation of the child within the womb of the mother. This also has been described by Kapila Dev in the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. There is a very systematic step-by-step procedure that once the fertilization of the sperm and the ovum takes place, and because the jiva is inside the fertilized ovum and then gradually starts growing, becoming an egg and then more and more, and because of the Lord's potency, then this starts manifesting different forms, starting with the mouth, and then gradually all the organs develop until the seventh month within the womb, when the consciousness externally manifests and the child becomes aware of its surroundings and then starts praying to the Lord for mercy and release from the hell that is within the womb of the mother. But eventually, of course, when the child comes out of the womb, he forgets the promises that he made to the Lord within the womb, because he is overcome and overwhelmed by Maya. Srila Prabhupada also mentions here that we can understand that everything therefore is based upon the desire of the Lord. Because the Lord desired to drink and eat, therefore he developed the mouth by which he could fulfill those desires. The creation reflects the personal aspect of the Lord. It is not impersonal. It is not desireless, as many monists assume. Because the Lord is a person, the Lord has desires. And he fulfills those desires even here in the form of his Virat Purusha, by manifesting all these different bodily organs. And because the Lord has desire, so we also have desire. Because the Lord desires to eat and drink, we also desire to eat and drink. And because the Lord, to fulfill those desires, manifests mouth and so many other organs, we also similarly manifest organs. Before we eat, the Lord eats. Before we can see, the Lord sees. So the Lord is the original doer. The Lord is the original seer, the original eater, the original thinker, feeler, willer. Everything originally rests in the desire of the Supreme Lord. So therefore here, through the process of the creation of the bodily organs of the Virat Purusha, we can infer very clearly that the ultimate truth is a person. And this person is full of desires. And he has infinite potency to fulfill all these desires. And because he has expanded himself into his infinitesimal fragmentary portions, the living entities, he has made arrangements for them to also fulfill their various desires from time immemorial. So in this way, progressively we are going to see in the following verses how the Virat Purusha is developing his various organs, his mouth and so on. Ultimately everything is coming, as far as the material energy is coming, from the impersonal Brahman. And the impersonal Brahman rests upon ultimately the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Today is also the appearance day of Srimati Sita Devi Thakurani. She is the eternal consort of Sri Advaita Acharya. Interestingly, Advaita Acharya, in his form of Shambhu and Mahavishnu, he has two forms. He also has a vital role to play in the creation. We find detailed description in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. We happen to be discussing the Virat Purusha, and Advaita Acharya, also in his role as Shambhu and Mahavishnu, plays some vital roles in the whole creation process. So Sita Devi is the eternal consort of Advaita Prabhu. She participated in Gaur Leela and also in Krishna Leela. In Krishna Leela, she was Paurnamasi or Yogamaya, and she made wonderful arrangements for the pastimes of Radha Krishna here in Vrindavan. When Krishna appeared as the foster child of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, then Paurnamasi gave many, many nice instructions to Mother Yashoda about child care. Similarly, when the same Paurnamasi or Yogamaya appeared in Gaur Leela, then very shortly after the birth of the Lord in Navadvip, Sita Devi, Sita Thakurani also came there to Navadvip. And actually it was she who gave the name Nimai to the Lord, because he happened to be under a neem tree. She also brought with her many, many wonderful gifts, foodstuffs and ornaments, and she presented them for the pleasure of the child. She also gave Sachi Mata good instructions on child care, how to look after the baby Nimai. And she participated in the Lord's pastimes there in a very, very intimate way. She was in the Vatsalya Bhav in relationship to Lord Gaurasundar. She considered him like her own child. And the Lord also reciprocated with her in that mood and considered Sita Thakurani as his own mother, as good as his, not different from his mother. Very often Sita Thakurani would cook for Lord Gaurasundar and he would relish eating that prasadam. Very often, even after he was manifesting his pastimes as a devotee, when propagating his Sankirtan movement, he would often come to Shantipur. One time in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is described that he came along with Nityananda Prabhu and had sumptuous prasadam in the house of Advaita Acharya. And Sita Devi Thakurani cooked many, many wonderful dishes for the pleasure of their lordships. So today is the appearance day of Sita Devi Thakurani. So we can pray at her lotus feet that she can bestow her choicest blessings. Without the mercy of Advaita Acharya and his consort, it is difficult for us to find shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Gaurasundar. Srimati Sita Devi Thakurani ki jai. Gaur Premanande. Hari Hari Bol. So are there any questions or comments? Yes.
Hare Krishna. I have three questions. Should I just ask one or should I ask three? If I keep it very, very brief.
One by one?
One by one. All right. First one is, you mentioned the Iksha, Mayad Dikshina Prakriti Suyata Sacharacharam. The Iksha of the Mahavishnu is what actually agitates the three modes. And you said that that Iksha, aside from the detail of Shambhu, but also what's actually being injected, you said, was his internal potency as time, which is causes the agitation. I always understood that we are being injected, the living entities, or at least the seeds of the living entities are being injected in the material nature. Is that, are they both aspects of that injection?
Yes, the living entities are injected, but they need a vehicle. They need a vehicle. A vehicle for injection, and that is a Shambhu principle. Shambhu principle is the one who carries these jivas and impregnates. So Shambhu is none other than Lord Shiva in his original form, and the material nature is Durga, his wife. So when Krishna says, Aham Bija Pradah Pita, that I am the seed-giving father, he is speaking as the original Shambhu. He empowers. He is speaking in his capacity as Shambhu, that through Shambhu he does this. Just as when Krishna says, Dharma Sansthapanarthaya Sambhavami Yuge Yuge, that I descend to this material world to establish the principles of religion, it is not the Adi Purusha, Sri Krishna, who does that, but is Vasudeva expansion who does that. So in the Bhagavad Gita, when you study the different verses, then you can identify that it is not the Adi Purusha actually, but Krishna is speaking in his capacity, in various capacities. So here, the Bija Pradhapita is not directly Krishna. Krishna doesn't directly interact with the material nature. He interacts through his various Purusha avatars, and these Purusha avatars also, through their various agents, they interact with the material nature. So then the Jivatmas, who have been lying dormant within Mahavishnu, are impregnated into the material nature.
Hare Krishna. Second question is, I thought I heard Srila Prabhupada sometimes describe creation in a way kind of similar with the Hebraeo-Christian idea that rather than gradual, like evolutionary idea, but more like simultaneously, that not that it happened all in one instant, but that it was a rather sudden phenomenon of creation. So are we, is our Vedic understanding of creation more gradual, or is it more simultaneously, like at one cosmic moment we could say that everything appeared?
Well, it is difficult to talk about time periods here, because we're talking of a stage that is even before the universes were created. But nevertheless, we can definitely say that they took place in stages. And these stages are clearly outlined, both in the Sarga stage and the Visarga stage. There are clear and definite stages. Just as when you cook on the fire, you can see definite stages that take place in the state of the cooking. They are identifiable by their symptoms. So similarly, although creation is a continuous process that takes place, just like cooking is a continuous process that is taking place, the food items are getting cooked in a very continuous way, but still you can identify the different stages discreetely of developments that take place. So the different elements are manifesting, and then these elements that are newly created also mix with the earlier elements there. Further time is added through the glands of Mahavishnu, further stirring takes place, and more elements are made, you know, like this. So it is a continuous process that takes place with clearly identifiable stages. in them.
Finally, you mentioned at the beginning and the end also that everything is based on the Lord's desires, even in terms of the Virat Purush, and when the living force, I guess that means the living force of the whole universe, desired to eat, then the agitated by the Virat Purush, then the mouth open like that. But we always hear one of our foundational points is we hear over and over again that the Lord actually has no interest. He's completely detached and has no interest in relationship with matter. So how is it that even here the principle that the Lord's desire is the basis even in the material Virat Purush?
No, it is not that the Lord doesn't have any desire in relationship to matter. Because after all, He is the one who is creating the whole cosmic manifestation. He is the one who is actually from the impersonal Brahman making sure that the Pradhana is manifesting. So it is not that the Lord has no personal desires, but it is not His own agenda. Because the Jivas have their various desires to fulfill, He does so in order to facilitate the unlimited desires of the Jivas within the material creation. So the Lord has unlimited desires. Our fundamental tenet is that the Lord doesn't wish to enjoy the material energy. That is the principle, not that He doesn't have any desires in relationship to the material energy. The Lord is only enjoying His Ladini Shakti, His internal spiritual potency. And His desires, as far as the material energy are concerned, are to facilitate the conditioned Jivas. To that extent, He has a connection with the material energy.
But you're saying, but we're hearing that He gets hungry and thirsty, and He doesn't seem like the living entities haven't as yet entered into the picture. It seems so biological almost that He's hungry and thirsty and the mouth opens, and doesn't seem like it's in relationship to facilitate our desires, although I'm sure that you could explain it.
Yeah, Prabhupada is saying here in the purport also that the process by which all living beings in the womb of mother develop the sense organs appears to follow the same principles in the case of the Virat Purusha, the sum total of all living entities. So, you see, Krishna's process of creation follows a certain pattern, whether at the micro level or at the macro level. It's all a similar stage, a sequence of operations that take place. So, just as within the womb there is a certain process and a sequence, similarly, also at the Virat Purusha stage. So, Krishna is manifesting these various stages in a very human-like manner.
Thank
Anyone
you.
Would like to add anything to this? Any throw more light? Any further comments? Yes.
Can you please elaborate the meaning of Mahat Tattva? You know,
what is the meaning of Mahat Tattva?
What is Mahat Tattva?
Mahat Tattva is the intermediate stage between matter and spirit. It is a stage that manifests immediately out of the pradhan when it is agitated by the time energy. It is a first step. As we described earlier, pradhan is the unmanifested, undifferentiated state of matter, where you don't have any separation. The three qualities or the three gunas, sattva, rajas, tamas, have not manifested. The various elements of material nature have not separately manifested. The senses have not separately manifested in their subtle form even. But in their dormant, unmanifest state, they lie as pradhan. So when that pradhan is agitated by time energy imparted through the glands of Mahavishnu, then the first phenomenon that takes place is that manifests itself as Mahat Tattva, which is the original is the receptacle, so to speak, or from which further creations take place. Then by further agitations from this Mahat Tattva, which is like the borderline of consciousness and matter, then further developments take place. Then from Mahat Tattva comes ego. So Mahat Tattva is the birthplace of the ego. And then from the ego, according to the modes, then different things develop, the intelligence, the senses, and the mind, and so on and so forth. Yes.
I am interested in who is Sadashiva? Is that Shambhu also, or?
Sadashiva is the origin of Shambhu. Sadashiva is a Vishnu form in the Vaikuntha planets. And from Sadashiva comes Shambhu. So he is the origin of Shambhu. So in that sense you can say he is not different from Shambhu or Shiva. Yes.
After that borderline stage, are living entities already existing in that stage? You know, are they already in? Have they already been inserted, or
yes,
they will be?
Yes, they have already been impregnated. But now, because the various material elements that form as the body of the living entities and the planetary systems, the universes have not yet manifested, so the whole process of cooking is still taking place. Yes.
Just a small point. Yesterday morning we were discussing the Virat Roop in our Bhakti Shastri class in Bhagavad Gita and VIHE. And I had a little trouble trying to explain how or why Srila Prabhupada uses the word transcendental in a purport. Even though the Virat Roop is temporary and comes and goes with the cosmos, but at the same time, Srila Prabhupada does use the word transcendental in describing the universal form. Perhaps you can help me.
Yes, sometimes Prabhupada uses the word transcendental, and sometimes he says it's a material form of the Lord. But I guess you could say transcendental because it's connected with the Lord. Therefore, transcendental. But ultimately, it's made of material elements. Somebody else had a hand raised. Yes, the mic, please. Can you transfer?
Can we equate the terms Mula Prakriti and Pradhana? Mula Prakriti and Pradhana.
Yes.
Is it the same?
Yes, as we described earlier, the difference between Pradhan and Prakriti.
Mula Prakriti. Mula Prakriti.
The origin. The origin of Prakriti is Pradhana. So when the time energy acts on the Pradhana, it becomes Prakriti. So therefore we can understand, if by Mula Prakriti you mean the origin of the Prakriti, original Prakriti, that is Pradhana.
And another thing is the impersonal Brahman is the indirect cause of manifestation of material world.
Yes.
So,
yes.
In which way?
Because it is the cause of the Nirguna Brahman is the cause of the Saguna Brahman. The Saguna Brahman means the Pradhan plus the time energy. So ultimately, just like we say that even in the Virat Roop, the eyes of the Lord are the sun and the moon. And the sunshine is nothing but it is a manifestation of the light of the Brahman, right? So ultimately whatever is existing in the material energy is coming from the spiritual energy, because spirit is the basis of matter. So therefore Pradhan also has its basis in spirit, and that is from the Brahman, because the matter has no independent separate existence. So it is based upon spirit. So therefore the Pradhan is also coming from the impersonal Brahman. And when the Lord, in the form of Mahavishnu, then he agitates this Saguna Brahman further, so progressively all these stages take place. Yes.
Prabhuji, you described this glance of Mahavishnu.
Yes.
You said that this glance is Shambhu. Is this what I heard? Is it right? This glance is Shambhu or?
Well, yes, that's how the Brahma Samhita describes also. There are many technical differences which, but nevertheless we can say that yes, the embodiment of that glance is Shambhu. In the first few verses of the Brahma Samhita we can find this description. So anyway, creation is such a technical and complex matter. But if anyone would like to shed any more light on the questions here, may Maharaj, would like to add anything? Any comments? Bhakti Rupa Prabhu is here, so would like to add anything to the discussion? Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.